want me to start the show?
Please, I am not.
I can start the show.
I'm not ready.
Hi, everyone. This is Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo. I'm not Andy Petrillo, but don't worry, Andy Petrillo's here.
Look, I was having a pretty intense conversation with our co-host. My earbuds are not even in. I can't hear anything right now. And I totally didn't realize the time. Hi, everyone. I'm back.
This is when certain co-hosts would be like, well, there's a really nice clock right there.
See, Marky right. Mark?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that.
You saved me there. Wow, didn't even realize the time snuck up on me. It's all your fault, Festchuck. I'm blaming you.
Yes, I am an engaging conversationalist, and it's difficult to pry yourself away from my deep
just
conversations.
So entertaining.
We were talking bathrooms and lineups and urinals. So, how about that for intrigue?
It's your favorite topic, Andy.
It might be one of the more important topics.
Yes.
For sports fans, the whole topic of how long it takes to freaking get to a bathroom at intermission, because at Rogers Place in Edmonton, there is massive outrage that they have converted some of the women's bathrooms into men's bathrooms.
Craziness!
And so the women are waiting exceptionally long durations to have a pee while the men breeze in and out. And Andy is rightly, I think, outraged by this.
I am very outraged by it. We're going to get into that. Lots of topics to cover. Andy Petrillo alongside sports columnist with Toronto Star, Dave Festchuk, that's who you're hearing, and our Sports Center host, Mark Rowe.
Part-time host of this show.
Part-time host of this show who saved me because my earbuds weren't in. I wasn't ready. We have the games that we need to get to from last night, which were highly entertaining. Marc-Andre Fleury playing some mind games by taping over Niskanen's name on his mask. Nick Bonino acting like a soccer player. And the Ducks getting all the help they can get from the refs. Yikes.
And Ryan Getzlaff.
Well, gets pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, you can't take away what he did for sure, but come on. So we're going to get into that. But yeah, so quickly, the urinal thing. Not urinal. I guess it's bathroom thing. So the whole story, I guess, is that the Rogers in Edmonton, the arena, they've, what, two women's bathrooms, they converted to men's bathrooms because they felt the men's lineups were too long?
Yeah, apparently it's event to event. For things like Dolly Parton, John Mayer, and the Dixie Chicks concerts, they've converted some men's bathrooms into women's bathrooms. I guess demographically, they figure there are going to be more women in the building. But they made this calculation that there's going to be less women at the Oilers games for games 3 and 4 of this series. Apparently erroneously, because there were many women standing out in the hallway waiting to have their intermission pee, and it did not go well. Let's say there was massive social media outrage, and I think the Oilers might have to recalculate here.
There is nothing more uncomfortable than having to cross your legs when you gats to go and you're doing the pee-pee dance, and everyone hates it. But you know what? I may be in the minority here, but for the love of just create communal bathrooms. Just go. I don't care if I'm in a stall and there's a guy beside me or a girl beside me. I'm in a stall. You can't see me. Their privacy is still being respected. Just go.
It's not like it's taken away from your Four Seasons experience. It's like you're in and out as fast as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not getting out some candles and my newspaper and spending time in there. I'm going in and I'm getting out.
I know what you're saying, Andy, but I do have to ask you this. Have you ever been in a men's bathroom during a sporting event? I'm not sure want to mix.
Okay, so first of all, yes, men are gross, but that's every facet of life. Secondly, yes, I have, because the women's bathrooms typically are longer, and I said, forget this. Like, I'm done with it. And
you've made that run?
And I walked in. I said,
you
guys,
were that girl.
Girl in the room, gotta go. And
oh,
what
my
I,
God.
And I will give credit to men. I will give credit, like, and I will admit, so sometimes women get, oh, my God, there's a guy in here. Men, they're like, meh, whatever. They do not care. I will give you guys credit. You're like, meh, there's a chick in here, whatever, kid, go. So I went, did my business, got out, and the lineup was still long for the women's bathroom, and I'm like, sayonara, I'm out of here. But how many fancy restaurants, too, have this whole, like, you go to the bathroom section, they're just like 6 rooms? Whether you're a man or a woman, just pick one and go. Like, so many places are doing this now. Whichever bathroom's available, just go.
I don't know why you guys are complaining. You know, as a kid from Hamilton who grew up going to a lot of Ticat games at Iverwind Stadium, I think it was an important education for me to be in those lines, hear those conversations, and it was kind of stuff that I wasn't going to get at school. So there is no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, I miss the trough era of arena peeing. I really do, but I'm in that minority. No. Now it's all sanitized with individual urinals, with
how
dividers.
Dare they?
Yeah. How dare they do that? I'm with you, Andy. I mean, let's just all go together and get this thing figured
we're
out.
We're all fans together. We might as well.
Hey, I've done a lot of touring through Europe, and let me tell you, to this day, there are still some places you walk in, and you're like, where's the toilet? Oh, that hole in the ground is the toilet. that's where you go.
Where
certain
were
parts
you?
Of Italy, trust me. Like the motherland. When I went back to the motherland, there were certain parts of Italy still. And even till this day, when I travel to Italy, rule number one when you're about to embark on a day and enjoy yourself, always rolls of toilet paper. You got to find a way to shove them in your purse, in your bag, because there are a lot of public washrooms. They either A, don't have toilet paper, or you have to pay the person to get toilet paper. So I just bring my own.
BYOTP.
This is, I'm telling you. And the last time I was in Italy was 2 years ago. And I was in like Positano. Right, Capri.
High-end resort towns.
And you still got to bring yourself a roll of toilet paper.
Is that because of the bidet culture where you're getting the little squirt, the little warm water squirt in lieu of toilet paper?
First of all, bidets are awesome.
Yes.
Grew up with them my whole life. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just, it's the public bathroom and they just, the Italians
don't.
So
there's no bidet in there?
No, there definitely is no bidet. And I would definitely suggest you do not share a bidet with anyone. But
okay. It's
just, no, Italians, I will say this, God bless my culture, but they're lazy. They're not going to put toilet paper in there for you. They don't care about you in the public washrooms.
It's good to know. This is good information.
Yeah.
Got to tell you, I've done a lot of Leafs lunch. This might be the best. This really, like, are we recording this?
See, this is where Canada's... we need Frankie Corrado to still be a Leaf, because my paisan will understand where I'm coming from, and we could have had him on the show, and he would have discussed
listens.
This.
What were the odds of a Frankie Corrado reference, you know, 2 weeks after the Leafs last game?
He could call in.
He might.
Nothing's stopping him from calling in.
His Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, pulled off a huge win.
You can listen to this show in the States.
I'm just saying. All right, so what do you guys want to get to first? Do you want to talk about the Oilers-Ducks game? Do you want to talk Caps and Penguins? What's the story that's intriguing you the most? Or do you want to, for one last time, pay homage to the Niskanen-Crosby thing? Because you wrote an article, and Dave, you were pretty heated about Niskanen not getting any games, I should say. So what was your take on your article, so in case people haven't read it?
Well, yeah, I think there's a real problem in the NHL, and it's a league where the rule book is essentially irrelevant now. Like, none of us know what a penalty is. There's rampant slashing on the hands. There's cross-checking happening every play. You know, who knows what's going to be called in terms of hitting from behind? It seems only if the guy's injured is that a penalty. I mean, you go down a list of things where the rules are just so murky now. The rule book has been thrown out. And I think this is an instance where that sets the tone, that fits the tone of the league, where you can cross-check the face of the league in the face. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the league shrugs. And I think that's a problem. I think Stephane Cattel in the player discipline office has got a problem on his hands, because this is a new era, man. Like, you got a skill era that we've never seen before, with players with gifts that have never graced NHL ice in terms of McDavid and Matthews, Marner, and on down the line. And I don't think we want to live in a world where you can cross-check those guys in the face and have them rendered irrelevant and not really face any discipline. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, you bring up a good point, because I know somebody the other day referenced the fact that suspensions were down. So perhaps that's an indication that our league has cleaned up and it's getting better. And I just cringed when I heard that, because I was like, if anyone actually really truly follows the league closely, you know there are a lot of players that should have been suspended and they didn't. So to me, that's a skewed stat. You can't really look at it and say, oh, look, the suspensions are down from whatever.
That's judging the league by reading a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, goals are down, so that must mean that goaltenders are better. Like, well,
yeah.
There could be a million different reasons why goals are down. To answer your question, I'm going down the road of the Caps Penguins. No disrespect to the Oilers and McDavid, and that's a 2-2 series. Both teams winning on the road. There are so many layers to this series, even before the Crosby hit. You look at the Capitals going down this situation again, and they're down 3-1. I'm not saying that they're out, but if they lose this series, what is the future of the Washington Capitals? There's that story. Obviously, as Dave just touched on, you know, there's significance in not just whether or not Matt Niskanen should get suspended. There is the how are we protecting our stars? And you look at what the NFL has done with the quarterback position, which is the most important position of that game. And the NFL as a business model is, you know, at a level that no other league in North America can compete with. But And not to say they do everything right, because they definitely don't, but I think they got that one right. And I know that a lot of defensive players in the NFL want to complain about it, but you have to protect the Tom Brady's of that league, mm-hmm. because those are the guys that sell it. Sidney Crosby sells the NHL. He sells the way that he plays. And just listen to Gary Roberts yesterday. Like, Gary Roberts was frothing at the mouth, mm-hmm. you know, because a guy like Sidney Crosby and the way he gets treated, and Connor McDavid and those stars, and, you know, Austin Matthews is in that same category. We want a physical brand of hockey. I think we can all agree on that, but you want the skill of the game to be on display as much as possible, because that's when you get eyeballs mm-hmm. on it, and especially for a league that still is trying to grow in the United States. Like, hockey is still strong in different pockets, but it's also very irrelevant in other markets as well.
Yeah, and I think it's being responsible for your stick. That's what I keep hearing. And I think that's where people are like, just if you're responsible for your stick, that doesn't mean you take the physicality out of the game.
No.
Just be responsible. And there's just one thing I wanted to quote here from your article, because here's the thing. Sometimes you got to put things into perspective and it makes sense. You said, yes, the game is fast, but so are the reactions of elite athletes. If we're going to give them credit for their hand-eye genius when they tip in a 100-mile-per-hour slap shot, we need to acknowledge that players are possessed of the ability to make dozens of micro-adjustments in nanoseconds. And that, to me, is so true. Because one of the arguments to a player not being able to stop in time, move out of the way, not cross-check somebody in the head, is that the game is happening so quickly. Well, what's the one thing we talked about as well when Austin Matthews scored that goal against the Washington Capitals? Remember that beauty goal where, I mean, he got a lucky bounce, but he taps it down, he gets it, you know, and then flips it up over Braden Holtby. That happened. How fast did that happen?
Exactly.
That was quick. Yet it's not like Austin Matthews closed his eyes and, you know, hoped for unicorns and rainbows that it would land on his stick and get it in. That was all skill. That was all strategy. So if we're willing to credit a player for doing amazing things in such a short period of time and so quickly, then why then do we cut them some slack and ignore the fact that, oh, well, they're unable to do that when they hurt somebody? Well, no, wait a second.
Exactly.
They have the ability to do it.
Yeah, and that's why I saw the Niskanen cross-check to Sidney Crosby's face as a crime of opportunity. It just so happened that Sidney Crosby found himself in a position and Matt Niskanen took the opportunity to give him a really nice shot, knowing mm-hmm. everything he knows about Sidney Crosby. And that, to me, was advantage Capitals in that moment, because now the Penguins have lost Crosby for basically two complete games.
He's on the ice today,
He's
right?
on the ice today, which is a great sign. Yeah. Obviously, everybody who cares about the game is happy to hear it. But, you know, I just don't think we can live in the world that we used to live in where that's okay, because the game now, we've gone past the point of, you know, protecting stars with enforcers. We can't do that anymore, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way we can have, you know, we're not just dropping the instigator rule and bringing back the McSorleys of mm-hmm. the world to watch over our stars, because we just know that can't be the case. So the only way to protect the stars is by rule books enforced. And right now this rule book has been, you know, it's like the phone book. Nobody uses it. You know what I mean? Everybody just looks stuff up on the internet. The yellow pages, you know, that actual volume in the corner gathering dust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a door stopper is what it is. And that can't be. And I think there just needs to be more vision. Like, I just don't understand why the guys running player discipline are like Stefan Quintal, like a marginal defenseman who with 1,300 career penalty minutes, you know, Chris Pronger, who's been involved. I mean, obviously one of the great players of his era, but one of the dirtiest as well. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's like hiring a bunch of guys who can't spell to edit a newspaper. You know,
Oh God.
And so I, you know, who I want to see head in player discipline. I want to see like somebody who's really good, like somebody who had like lots of goals. I want to see Wayne Gretzky head in player discipline. I want to see Paul Kariya head. You know, guys who've felt the brunt on the other side of it and haven't doled out that punishment, but have taken that punishment.
Is the argument, though, that if you get a guy, I know when Chris Pronger came on board, the argument was because he was a wee bit shady
right.
in some of his plays, that he would understand when another player was being shady. Like, he could point it out and be like, hey.
He can speak their language.
He could, yeah. I know what you're doing, buddy. Yeah. Don't try to...
Well, yeah, that's fair.
But I think it's also, it's a collective effort here.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be one guy, but you can have a Chris Pronger in there, but you can have... like.
But Quintal makes the ultimate decision, right?
Well, he does, but you can... You certainly need some opinions from other sides, and not to say they don't have that now, but it's, as Dave points out, it's a broken system. And, you know, Paul Kariya, I love that suggestion. I know that he hasn't really been involved in hockey very much.
Yeah,
on the
I'm not suggesting
NHL
that's imminent.
No,
I'm,
I know.
I'm just
but
saying,
like,
this is just an example.
There's a guy, but that's a perfect example of a guy that played a skill game who obviously was exposed in an era where, you know, you could. I don't want to say headhunt, but there were some pretty egregious hits.
I'd say headhunt.
So he would know it better than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's my question, just to be on the other side of the fence. Okay, so we're talking about our superstars. We understand they sell the game because they sell tickets. And when people go, they want to see those players. And we watch those players on TV. As great as the Oilers and Ducks series has been and the superstars that are on the Ducks, let's be honest here. We want to see Connor McDavid, right?
Yes.
Like, this is why we tune in. So if it goes too much the other way, though, already we're hearing Randy Carlyle talking about Connor McDavid getting the white glove treatment, which prompted a lot of Oilers fans to show up with white gloves. We already hear, I mean, Sidney Crosby has been criticized his whole career of the refs cater to him and everything, although video would suggest otherwise.
I would say so.
Right? Like, when the whole, again, we bring up, you know, Johnny Gaudreau, when he, you know, had his wrist broken, how many times did we see him get slashed in that game alone? Like, we were just counting how many times the superstars can be targeted. So if they are protected, does it get to the point now where if you're another team, so now you're Dubinsky, who's got to play Crosby hard, obviously this is the one I'm thinking of now, do you not now know as Dubinsky, like, well, forget it. I'm never going to win any battle with Crosby. I'm never going to get any call that's going to go my way. You almost know that the fix is in because the refs are always going to protect the superstar. I mean, can't that be scary if it goes that way too?
Yeah, it's obviously, it's a very delicate balance we're talking about here, but my point is the balance has just shifted. Like, the balance has shifted where there's like almost a lawlessness here where we don't even know what the penalty is anymore. Mm-hmm. You talk about the slashing on the hands. By the end of the season, I talked to so many players who basically said, yeah, it's an epidemic. Like, and it's a slash on the hands, it disrupts offense. Like, it takes guys off the puck. It's a very effective defensive mechanism, and it really does... Wow. You know, frustrate skilled players, and it can also obviously injure skilled players and disintegrate fingers, as we saw with Crosby on Mark Methot. And so everybody can be implicated in this. Like, Crosby is an offender in that case. Mm-hmm. But so it's not necessarily about having rules that protect stars, but it's having rules that protect offense, I would say. I think that's what the NFL has done with protecting quarterbacks and, you know, basically taking some of the dirtiness out of the defensive side. That's what the NBA has been able to do by way back in the 90s saying, we don't want Michael Jordan driven into the hardwood by the Detroit Piston thuggery. We want Michael Jordan to be able to win championships with his great skill. It's a philosophical thing. And you talk about, this isn't on Stephane Cattell. It's on the commissioner. It's on the highest level of
NHL power. Because he answers
NHL
to those
power.
GMs and everything,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure. Like,
and I think it's on the owners. I think, why wouldn't the owners... In this era, where we realize we're not going back to the enforcer era, there's not going to be any self-policing by enforcers anymore. So, and since we know we've got this incredible generation of skilled players that are wowing us with their gifts, I mean, it's got to be on the owners to say, we want a league where those guys can prosper. We don't want a league where those guys are getting cross-checked in the head.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I may have had a bit of a shaky start to the show, but I think I'm, you know, picking up some steam here, and we're going to end this segment on a high note.
You don't have a choice.
Didn't start the game on time,
yeah.
But the game's already tied 2-2, okay?
Yeah.
Made the comeback. We got a lot
coming
up here.
You were like the Senators the other night.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to here on Leafs Lunch. Pierre Maguire is going to be joining us. We have Mark Masters, who's covering that Pittsburgh-Washington series in the noon hour. Darren Dreger is going to be joining us. So a lot to discuss around the hockey world here on Leafs Lunch as you continue to listen on TSN 1050. Stream online on the iHeartRadio app. I do have to share a story, though, that I wanted to actually share at the top of the show, and then things kind of derailed very quickly because I wasn't ready, which I'll just admit. So I'm at the Toronto FC game last night, and it's near the end. Jovinko already has 2 goals at this point, and now TFC is pressing, and he has the ball. And my mom, who actually, I mean, my mother loves sports. Sometimes she sees things that even I miss. I'm like, how did you know that, right? So she's actually really knowledgeable, but she had... And she said this, not me. She had a senior moment where she couldn't find the word. But as Jovinko has the ball at his feet and they're pressing, because he already has 2 goals, she's like, get the Mad Hatter! Get the Mad Hatter! And I'm like, what the hell? There's some crazy person out on the pitch? Or I'm like, does Jovinko have a new nickname I'm unaware of? I said, what are you yelling? And she's like, you know, the it's on your head. The mad. I'm like, the hat trick? Oh, mom. Oh,
now,
mom.
Full disclosure, how many beers in is she?
No. Point? This is what I mean. I'm like, mom, what? You have no excuse. I'm like, you don't drink and you don't vape. I'm like, what was that? And she's like, oh, my gosh. She said that was a senior moment. So she's screaming out, get the Mad Hatter. And everyone around is like, what? What is going on? Right. Thought there was some nutso out on the pitch. No, it was just my mother trying to find the word hat trick.
Well, yeah. Hattie, Mad Hatter, hat trick.
It could catch on.
You know, yeah. It could catch on.
Got
you
the Mad
know.
Hatter.
Maybe it's like the soccer, the new soccer.
If Jovinko gets
the guy
more.
Is drunk, but there he goes.
That was my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so
I
good.
Cut her some slack for the enthusiasm.
It was true. Well, yes, my mother, she gets very involved. And that, though, I was like, yikes. But anyway, so that was cute. The Mad Hatter. Reading an article here. Should Sidney Crosby consider retiring? Oh boy, this is a tough one.
Is that for us to decide?
No, it really isn't. Like, and not to end the conversation so quickly after I asked the question, but Gord Miller also said it best last week when he was discussing Clark MacArthur. He's like, who are we to decide whether somebody should come back to the game or not, do whatever it is that they want with their life or not? Like, we're not involved.
We're not
with
part
their
of
life.
His family.
Yeah,
like we can all have our opinion.
You can have an opinion,
and certainly with a guy like Clark MacArthur, who played, I think, 4 games last year and 4 games this year before the playoffs, that maybe hockey has passed him, and maybe health should be his concern. But you know what? It's not our life. And do we know what it's like to be a professional athlete? No.
I know what it's like to be a winner.
Right.
Yeah.
You do.
But it's true. You can give your opinion, provided you also understand that it's just simply an opinion that you're stating. You're not exactly going to call him up and with any kind of conviction and influence his life. So can we sit here and give an opinion on Sidney Crosby? And can we sit here and say that it would be really sad? He's believed to have suffered, you know, his 4th concussion. Mm-hmm. We don't know about prior to the NHL or anything like that, because that's something, you know, they always bring up. Is it sad to think that he could live a life in pain where his head is always hurting or he feels crippled in some sort of way because of headaches or vision? Yeah. And I would say, geez, that's pretty sad. So why don't you try to minimize the risk of that happening? Because that would just suck. How about that? But if he's not ready, if he doesn't want to, what are you going to do? It's his life.
I mean, this is a guy who's missed 114 regular season games in his career to concussions. He's missed, you know, the bulk of a couple of seasons in 2010, 2011, and then in 2011, 2012 to concussions. So this has been a persistent part of his career for a long, long time now. And if there's anybody on the planet that's talked to more experts and been seen by more highly qualified doctors than Sidney Crosby, I'd like you to point him out, because I don't think there is anybody that's been in that situation. So he's got to be, he's not an expert, but he's talked to every expert you could possibly imagine about this issue. And he's got an informed opinion about what he wants to do with his life. And that's, I think the conversation ends there, basically, because the guy's going to be 30 this summer. He's accomplished everything you can accomplish in the sport. But what drives him and what risk he's willing to take are completely up to him. And for people to weigh in, I know Charles Tatter, the great neurologist,
he's
brain
quoted
surgeon,
in this article along with Keith Primo,
who's been who I have great respect for, who's been at the forefront of concussion knowledge and research. And
well,
he's saying Crosby should retire, but it's not Charles Tatter's decision to make. It's Sidney Crosby's decision to make.
It'll be very interesting to see how Crosby and the Penguins deal with this latest concussion, because he's already on the ice today. Mm-hmm. And so they have diagnosed it with a concussion. And what do we know about concussions? It gets worse and worse with each one that you get. And you're more susceptible to more concussions each time that you get it. So, you know, they're in a situation right now where they're in a real tough playoff series with the Capitals. They're up 3-1. It's a very talented team. And how conservative are you with the diagnosis of Sidney Crosby? Like, this is the time where you need him the most, but you also want to think big picture and you want to think about the health of one of your players, let alone the best player in the game right now.
I think Sidney Crosby, to me, when he also sat out that year, right, where he was getting all the opinions that you were discussing and basically said that he's not ready to come back, I thought he also laid the groundwork for players these days to speak up and say to their coach, I'm not ready. I'm not going to go in because you need me or I'm one of the best players. I'm not trying to be a hero here. I'm not going in. And I felt like that.
Well, what were concussions called back in the day? I had my bell rung.
Yeah.
Right? And not, you know, we've obviously come way further from that time. But you're absolutely right. Like someone, especially with his stature, you know, you think of all those press conferences he had with doctors.
You needed him to do it first because he stood up to, and I'm not trying to insinuate either that the Pittsburgh Penguins were trying to force him back into the lineup. I'm not trying to go there at all. But I just feel like he became the player who broke the mold. He also sought outside opinion. He also said, I'm not ready to go. So now if you are a player who's dealing with that, you have the courage to say, I'm not ready, because one of the best in the game said that and stood up and said, I'll come back when I'm ready. And hey, you take a year off, you can come back. Clark MacArthur, there you go, right? You're gone. You still have the skill. You can come back. No one's going to hold it against you that you were too weak or fragile or wimpy or whatever, you know, words they want to use. No, this is serious. You took your time. You got cleared. You're back. But it's still something that's interesting to have an opinion on, but I think we all agree at the end of the day it's up to Sidney Crosby. He is on the ice today. He's skating. Obviously, it's an off day, and there's no contact, but good to see him out there. Let's welcome in now Pierre Maguire, NHL and NBC analyst. His Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. How are you doing, Pierre?
Excellent, Andy. How are you?
We are great. We were just discussing, there was an article that was written that quoted, you know, Keith Primeau as well as Dr. Charles Tatar on whether or not Sidney Crosby should consider retiring on what they believe is his fourth concussion. And I think we all agreed that, you know, at the end of the day, it's Crosby's decision. Who are we? Unless you're family and close friends, you know, I mean, you can have an opinion on it, but by no means are you making the decisions for his life. But what do you make of that question?
I think it's a fair question, but I think only Sidney can answer it. We all have different perspectives on how we want to live our lives. It's up to Sidney to answer how he wants to prolong or continue his career. I mean, that's up to him. I'm not going to tell him what to do, and I don't think anybody else should tell him what to do.
So you were doing Washington-Pittsburgh last night. You're getting set for Rangers-Sens tonight, correct?
Correct.
Okay, how was that atmosphere last night?
In Pittsburgh, it was unbelievable. It really was. The biggest thing to me, and I have to tell you, and I've been traveling, so I don't know what's been written yet, and I obviously stayed up late to watch the Edmonton Oilers play, so working on a little bit of sleep here. I don't know what's been written, Andy, but I would say this. People are probably taking shots at the Washington Capitals, and they're unjustified. They're giving everything they have. That was a Marc-Andre Fleury win last night. That was a courageous shot blocking, we'll do whatever it takes to win kind of game from the Pittsburgh Penguins. It wasn't because Washington didn't give an effort or that they choked in the moment. I heard that last night when I was leaving in the rink in Pittsburgh, that Washington choked in the moment. Not true at all. They gave everything they had, just Fleury. I mean, at some point, then there's a little divine intervention, too, when you think about the Gensel goal off Orlik's, off the skates of Orlov. I mean, so you look at it, not a lot of luck.
So, Pierre, you see the game from a different perspective than we do watching on TV, because you're ringside and at the player's level. I didn't see much of an appearance from Alex Ovechkin last night from my perch watching it on TV. How did you see Ovechkin's performance in that one?
I thought he gave a lot. He just couldn't get going for whatever reason, Dave. He just couldn't generate enough offense. You know, he likes to get pucks on goal, likes to dominate the puck. Backstrom likes to dominate and then get him the puck. They weren't able to do that. And again, I think it's a bend but don't break mentality that the Pittsburgh Penguins played last night, Dave. But the guy cares. I mean, I stand where he sits on the bench. I'm standing right next to him for two periods. The guy cares. Trust me. He's down there. He's trying to be positive on the bench. If you would ask me this question 3 years ago, I would have said, nah, there's not enough effort there. It's a different effort. I'm telling you, he's given an effort.
You know, Pierre, as someone who loves the game, and you just have to look at your schedule to know that you truly do love the game or else you wouldn't do this. Nick Bonino sold a really huge call on TJ Oshie late in the game, and who knows if that would have determined the game, but certainly a power play to the Penguins up 3-2 is huge. Clearly the stick didn't hit his face. He sold it. As a lover of the game, what was your reaction to seeing those replays?
Well, I don't know what you guys saw on Canadian TV, but I know what we showed. And the first one thing you see from a certain angle, you say, oh, definitely it hit him. And Oshie never complains, so you really don't have anything. But then you go to another angle, your second look is a different angle, and you're like, perhaps that stick didn't hit him. And then they bring it closer on a thing called on NBC. It's called NBC See It. And then you see he sold that. And I was like, he never got, I just matter of factly said, he never got touched by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't really impressed by that. And I don't think too many hockey people were.
Well, because that's the culture of hockey, right? We're all about this code of honor, you know, and then all of us. And I know the fans themselves, right, like to always talk about how tough the players are. And then you always compare it to other athletes, right? Look at soccer players. They're divers. Well, diving clearly exists, too, in the NHL, which is why they get fined for it. And then you look at that and you're just groaning with embarrassment.
Right. Mm. I was in touch with people, Andy, at or one person anyways, at the league office yesterday after the game, who was actually marveling at how well the Penguins had played without Crosby and how much guts they showed. And I said, I agree, except they didn't like the Bonino thing. And it's something that the league can penalize them for in terms of a fine. So we'll see how that plays out. But no, I don't think too many hockey people thought that was great. In fact, I'm sure probably today there's a part of Nick that says, I wish I hadn't done that.
We're speaking with Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC analyst, as well as our TSN 1050 analyst. I say this respectfully, Pierre, but you've been around a lot longer than me. So you tell me if there is really as much of a difference as I think there is right now with the officiating from regular season to playoffs, because this is something we were discussing. Like, in my mind, Ryan, I see the game. I know in the regular season, especially coming out of, you know, even the 04-05 lockout and then the lockout shortened season in 2012, they've clamped down on so many calls. Sometimes you can't even, you know, whisper in the goalie's ear, right? It's goalie interference in the regular season. There's so many things they call, whereas I feel in the past, and again, this is where I'm hoping you can, you know, help correct me or maybe agree. In the past, I felt like even in the regular season, they let things go. So when things were really let go in the playoffs, there didn't really seem to be that dichotomy, that difference. But in today's day, where they do call absolutely everything, it's becoming even more frustrating in the playoffs when they let things go. Am I just imagining that, or does there really seem to be that huge difference now compared to the past?
You're not imagining it at all. It's actual fact. It's reality. All you need to do is watch some of the stuff that goes on during the St. Louis Nashville series. All you need to do is look at some of the stuff that's gone on in the Washington-Pittsburgh series. I've been in a lot of series this spring. There's been a lot of mayhem everywhere, yet it hasn't been called. So I do think there's a sliding scale. I know that that was one of the things that probably caused Marc Bergevin, the general manager of Montreal, to go out and get a bigger team going into this year's playoffs because of the frustration he had experienced in other years where his smaller players just couldn't get anything going because of that sliding scale. So you're not wrong at all. You're bang on the mark, Andy.
So, Pierre, when you look at the Capitals now, down 3-1 in this series to the defending Cup champions, obviously not a favorable position for a franchise to be in, let alone a franchise that's won two straight President's Trophies and has never been out of the second round in the Ovechkin era. I mean, this is as kind of red alert as it gets for a franchise, isn't it, Pierre? And how do you think the Capitals will react?
You know, it's interesting, Dave. I walked out of the rink after game two with their owner, and I have to tell you, he just looked at me and he said, I cannot believe with all the dominance that we showed, we couldn't score more goals. But he was completely supportive of his team. It just, there was a frustration in his voice. I can't believe we didn't score more goals. And he's not wrong. But I'm telling you, I don't care who wins and loses in these things. I'm supporting the Capitals players and their coaching staff. They're trying. They are pushing hard. Marc-Andre Fleury is writing a pretty amazing story right now. He really is. Because Washington, by rights, probably should have won game one. They probably did not deserve to win game two. They were great in the first period, and then they weren't very good the rest of the way. Game three, they won. And last night, I thought that they deserved a better fate. But Pittsburgh showed a lot of guts, boy, a lot of guts. So I don't know. It is a red alert kind of a time because, Dave, as you know, there are a ton of restricted free agents on that team, and there's some very important unrestricteds, namely Daniel Winnick, who's a very good depth player for them, Carl Alsner, who's a tremendous defender for them, who's back and playing injured right now, even though he's playing, he's injured, and TJ Oshie. So they're looking at a far different lineup next year going forward, even if this thing were to be successful. But if it's not successful, they're looking at a way different lineup.
Pierre, what day straight is this? How many days now have you been working?
I don't know, but I know that tonight will be game 21.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Nice, my friend.
And,
well, there's no rest
fresh,
for the wicked.
Right? You'll be ready.
He's going to go
ready.
Nap now.
I'm ready to go. Right after I'm done with you guys, I'm heading to the gym.
I was going
to
say, you probably already had your workout, but...
No, I didn't do that yet. Unless I was doing an O.J. Simpson running through the airport, that's the only thing I was doing this morning.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that,
Pierre. I know what you're talking about, but there's a lot of people out there that don't, so let's...
Oh, Pierre, we love you.
Go rent your car.
Yes.
That's O.J. before the murder.
Yes,
right?
That's pre-you-know-what's-it, O.J. Yeah. All right, thanks so much for taking the time, Pierre.
Bye-bye. See you later, Mark. See you, Dave.
That is Pierre Maguire, NHL and NBC analyst, as Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. He is tired when he's making those kinds of references.
We gave a plug to Hertz Rent-A-Car there.
Yeah, so. There you go. All right, we're going to have Mark Masters, our TSN reporter, join us. He's in Pittsburgh. He's also been covering that Washington Pittsburgh series. Why not? There's so much drama around it, but I still also want to get to the Ducks Oilers game, because what did you make about those non-calls, I guess you can say, that affected really the outcome of the game? One of them actually led to the OT winning goal for the Ducks. As you continue to listen here on Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online tsn.ca. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online on the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Leafs Lunch 1050. We'll have our TSN reporter, Mark Masters, join us shortly. He was in Pittsburgh. Darren Dreger will be coming up in the noon hour. Andy Petrillo, alongside SportsCenter host Mark Rowe and sports columnist with the Toronto Star, Mr. Dave Festchuk. We know the back and forth banter. We heard this yesterday, right? Between Jay Beagle, Phil Kessel.
Mario Kart.
Yeah, so this is where you have reporters.
Did you play Mario Kart?
No.
No.
No, of course I didn't.
Well, Kessel apparently does.
I guess, but this is where you have reporters. I'm just picturing it too, right? Like just running back and forth between each room saying, he said this, and then he said that, and then guess what he said? Which is kind of funny. But hey, it's also the job of the reporter. But I want to air the clip of Jay Beagle responding to when Phil, I guess at this point they had gone back to Beagle and said, Phil Kessel called you an idiot. And then this was Jay Beagle's response. But this is what caught my ear more than anything, was the background noise, in particular the laughter. So listen.
That's not very nice, but I mean, I guess he said what he said. I'm hurt deeply, you know, and I don't know if he wants to settle it. We could always, you know, play some Mario Kart. He knows where to find me. I mean, we'll take it there.
Maybe this is just me, but nothing drives me crazier than when I'm sitting in a coach's presser or you're in a player scrum and they say something that's worth maybe a grin, a chuckle, and then there are these some people, like some of these, who give this belly laugh. What is so freaking funny about what you're saying? Like, to me, I feel like you're such an obvious kiss ass. Like, it drives me crazy. I hate it. No, sorry, Babcock, you actually didn't say something that was that funny.
Yeah, the
why
Leafs,
do people do that?
The Leafs press corps is particularly guilty when Babcock tries a joke, and you're right. But I'll say this, to defend my colleagues, although I'm probably not one of the guys that's, you know, belly laughing.
You never smile. I've seen you at morning skate.
I try not to. But 99.9% of the stuff athletes and coaches say is so nondescript and so coded and not very funny, not even close to funny, that when they attempt humor, I think people almost feel obligated to, you know, reward them with a good laugh.
I get it.
Because at least you're trying, man. At least you're trying.
I still feel like that was not that funny. You know who gives the belly laughs?
All the time.
All the time? Is
that was
Mark,
actually him.
That was him. That was Mark Masters, who was laughing really hard in that Jay Beagle scrum. TSN reporter Mark Masters. How you doing, Marky Mark?
I'm doing good. I was actually the one who asked the follow-up question and said, so you don't think it was clean? Or you don't think it was a dirty hit? And he's like, no, I do think it was a dirty hit. But I hated to be Captain Serious in that scrum, but someone had to get answers.
Has there ever been
needed answers?
Has there ever been a player that has really forced you to laugh out loud? Have they said something that really forced you to laugh out loud? A player or a coach?
Oh, just there's There's some. I always thought Clark MacArthur had some good one-liners when he was in Toronto. I really enjoyed talking to him. I'm trying to think. I mean, every so often, I think that there's a good point there about how it's so infrequent that the bar is pretty low for a great laugh in these scrums. But Clark's a favorite of mine from his days in Toronto, for sure.
He did have some good one-liners. I'll give him credit for that. But something about, oh, my feelings are hurt, let's play Mario Kart, doesn't really do it for me. So you were taking in the game last night between Washington and Pittsburgh. First of all, what was made of Marc-Andre Fleury with the tape over Nisky? So he totally blanks his name. So he has some players' names from Pittsburgh on the back of his mask. Niskanen is one of them. He taped over it. What kind of controversy did that stir up?
I'm not sure it stirred up a ton of controversy. I was in the Capitals room after the game, but I did see that he was asked about that. I saw a video of him being asked about that on social media, and he tried to kind of laugh it off and say, oh, you guys see everything. And he didn't really address it in that answer. So obviously tensions are high here. I mean, Crosby's their guy, and Niskanen just gave him a concussion. So clearly that's, I assume, the thought process in taping over his name on his helmet. And we'll see if he maybe addresses it more tomorrow. Today's a day off for the team.
So Sidney Crosby out on the ice. Are we hearing any update on him?
No, but Coach Sullivan's going to have a conference call with the reporters in the next few minutes here, actually, and hopefully we'll get an update. Security pretty tight here at the practice rink. We showed up, we walked in, we saw him on the ice, and then immediately we're told to get lost. And then they locked the door behind us, and they put up these big black drapes. So not only could we not shoot video, we couldn't really watch it unless you try and go up on a weird angle and look through these big black drapes that they had over the glass. So, but he is skating. That's a good sign. Connor Sheary, who's also working his way back from a concussion, was out there as well. So we'll see. They have a couple days now between games. Game five is not until Saturday in Washington, then game six back in Pittsburgh, if necessary, on Monday. So certainly it's a very positive sign that he's out there. He was in full equipment and working his way back here from this latest concussion.
Mark, quickly describe the mood around the Washington Capitals, who are down 3-1.
Not good. It's, they're forced once again now to confront their demons of playoff failures of the past. Alexander Ovechkin, I asked him a general question last night, just what has to change? And the first thing that popped into his mind was his own play. It's not good enough. Barry Trotz called out their top guys as well. It's inexcusable. I mean, Crosby's out of the lineup. Sheary's out of the lineup. The Penguins already without Letang. Fleury's playing great, but he's not their, technically their number one option in goal either. And they just, their top guys came up short. Holtby, it was a great shot by Schultz, but it wasn't, a screen or anything. And he just couldn't make that one extra save. And just their guys, their big guys haven't been able to come through. They're out shooting them. They're out chancing them. Most of the time they're dominating possession in the series, good chunks of it. And they can't get it done for whatever reason. And it's a really uncomfortable feeling in that room right now because they don't have the answers.
All right, we got to run. Thanks so much for the update, Marky Mark.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
That's Mark Masters, TSN reporter. We have the Noon Hour coming up next here on Leafs Lunch. Don't go anywhere.